This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Jimmy from Boston. Petey, I called that Home Depot and I spoke to those delivery guys. They claim that as soon as they got to your kitchen and took the dishwasher out of the box, you started licking your lips and unzipping. So they turned around and then they saw all the dick dents in your refrigerator. So they rushed the washer out of there, saving it from becoming the next appliance to be victimized. Those boys are goddamn heroes. You perverted fridge fucking bastard, you.
Pete and Sebastian Show, we're back. There he is. Fresh Bro. Off his new hour special taping. Sebastian Maniscalco.
Okay, well, now, I don't know, based on what I'm seeing, if that t-shirt was purchased that deep, or did you have something hanging on it that brought it down to your navel? What?
It's a button. It's got snap buttons.
Oh, gotcha.
So snap number one is for Irish. Snap number two if you live in Connecticut. Snap number three if you're a corporate guy. No snaps if you're Italian. Sorry about that. I got to accentuate the chains. How you doing, bro? Speaking of dress, I didn't know the full extent of what was going on with your special. As far as I know, you told me you were going to go, I don't know if you, yeah, people saw it with a tux. But to tell the listeners to get dressed up, I can't even tell you how much I wish I was there. Men in suits and tux, women in beautiful gowns. It was like you're doing a show on the fucking Titanic, guy.
It was cool. Thank you. It was, well, to clue the listeners in, if you don't know, I shot a special this weekend in Las Vegas at the Wynn Hotel. And I had asked the people that were coming to dress up in 1960s attire, you know, suit jacket, cocktail dresses. And some people really went above and beyond the ask. One woman that was there was wearing satin gloves up to her elbows with a long cigarette holder, you know, and updos and French braids, all this stuff.
Audrey Hepburn, I love it. Little Breakfast at Tiffany's. Why 60s, though? It looked like it was just evening attire.
It was a throwback to the Rat Pack, Frank Sinatra.
When people did dress nice.
Well, when people
had more class.
When they were human beings. not sheer cattle
going
through the casino. Now, the sad thing about this, and a little insight on this, is we reserved the first three rows for people who were dressed up. So we kind of let those tickets empty. And then when we spotted people in the crowd that we wanted to bring down, we put them in the first three rows because those rows were going to be seen on camera. Now, I'd say, I don't know, I'm just going to throw a number out there because I didn't see the top balcony. 35% of the people dressed up, 35, 40 maybe. But it was nice to see, you know, look down in the audience and shoot bow ties and ties and women are, you know, sparkles.
Yeah,
and this.
Yeah.
I felt like I was performing in the Stardust Hotel 1963, and I thought Dean Martin was going to walk in at any minute, right?
Fucking love it. I love it. It was almost enough people that the people that didn't get dressed up should have been like, it's like going to a Halloween costume party and you're not in a costume. It's like, yeah, beat it, guy. What are you doing? And I want to add that the Wynn is such a beautiful place. It's not like you're asking them to, like, hey, make a left by the Home Depot and then come walking in your tux. It's like a beautiful place.
Well, Steve Wynn tried to implement a dress code when he opened the joint, I think, in 2005. He had all over the casino signage, men must be in a jacket, women in a cocktail dress, and no babies, no strollers. And that lasted for 5 days. And people were walking through the casino with a thong. So,
because they have a right. They have a right. Right? Oh, my God.
You know what I'm getting, you know what I'm getting upset about?
What?
Rights.
Me too, because I like my rights and you like your rights, but I don't like the other rights people want. It's like we're not on the same page.
Our rights are right.
Oh my God, that should be a t-shirt. You can't, on so many levels, I don't even want to get into the details, but on so many levels, it's like people are like making new laws while I'm looking at that person going, you're crazy. Jail. I mean, it's like, I don't even. Did you see the lady in Montana today saying that you can change your birth certificate if you change your sex? So if you were born a male and then you decide you're a woman, you can make them change your birth certificate to saying you were born a woman. We're correcting God. I don't know how that's going to play out. Who's going to give God the paper back and go, 9 out of 10, big guy. You want to change. But to say to big guy, you know, didn't do what he did, it's like, all right. And that's any religion. I don't know. I got to start studying more religions. I'm thinking about getting the Quran, doing a deep dive.
Jeez.
I'm serious.
Can we get a page count on the Quran, Patrick? If you had a guess before he tells us,
yeah,
how many? What's more pages, the Bible or the Quran?
Oh, I think the Quran is more pages. I think
that would say.
Do they have pictures? Do they have pictures in the Bible?
It's estimated to take 600 hours to understand the Quran. It's 600 pages. If you have a 20 by 30 copy of the Quran, it's 600 pages. And they estimate 600 hours of study to grasp.
Yeah, but bro, I could do a 45-minute peruse and come back and give you enough you need to know on the show. You know what I mean? Just a couple words here and there.
Anything that takes 600 hours to grasp, I ain't joining. You know, I mean...
Yeah, no, it's not even an option. It's not even an option. I mean, I could be a doctor at the end of that shit. Right? So, I mean, I don't know how long medical school is, but if you total it, they're like way longer than that. All right, it'd be halfway there. I could be a nurse. So, did you have fun? By the way, I saw the picture of you in the suit, which looked great. I'm wishy-washy with the hat, and I got to ask... I don't know, maybe this is an edit. Did you come out with the hat on?
No, no way.
Nice. Oh, God, thank God.
I'm
the
not
hat
a
was
hat.
Not, I know. Listen,
I ain't a hat guy. I don't have the head for a hat. My head don't look right in a hat. It don't look right with no hat. But you put a hat on my head, it throws off the whole symmetry of the body. You know, Sinatra had the head for it. I put the hat on reluctantly in the photo, but after it came out, I go, this isn't as bad as I thought. It wasn't great, but I wanted to convey a Sinatra-type vibe.
Right.
And the hat was...
No, the photo was great. I just didn't know if you could... the photo with the hat, it made sense with the whole what you were going with. It was fantastic. But I always have a feel... I feel like the hat is... On stage is for dances because they do that, you know, they can do that with it a lot. But I feel like once, like you probably were, you once I got a hat on, it's got to be on, because the minute I take it off, we're gonna have like a little fucking wreath going on around there.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like I upset you when I said I wasn't into the hat.
I'm not upset at all, bro.
All right. And you're very mellow, bro. I'm very mellow.
I'm coming off a big weekend with essentially no sleep the last two nights. I got my father here. Now, my father and I watched the movie last night about my father, the movie that I made with De Niro.
Oh.
I was reluctant to show him. And I'll tell you why. Two reasons. Number one, I couldn't get the damn thing to mirror on my TV from my computer. And I didn't want him watching it on a laptop. I wanted him to watch it on a TV. That's first and foremost. I didn't want him watching it. Secondly, you know, we're not done with it yet.
Right.
So I didn't want to show him an unfinished product. And thirdly, this will kind of tie into one of the things I wanted to talk about. And I told him this last night. I said, you know what? I wasn't going to show you this, but, and I don't mean to be crass here, but I feel like... My dad's 76 years old, right? Now, if he don't watch it this trip, he could very well drop dead tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
God forbid.
Like we're in the age range. Listen, we're in the age range where, you know, health is deteriorating, and, you know, not to say that he's going to die tomorrow, but I wanted him to see it before, God forbid, anything might happen.
Right.
And the reason I bring this up, and I want to send my condolences to the Arnold family. A comedian by the name of David A. Arnold passed away last week or 2 weeks ago. And we didn't mention this on the cast. And I just wanted to, pay homage to him because I've known him for 20 years, 54 years old, two kids, wife. Beautiful family, drops dead on a Tuesday morning on his computer as a heart attack, right? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm hearing a lot of people, and I don't know if this is the age we're in, you know, died in sleep, just a lot of death around the 50-year-old age mark. Now, are we just paying more attention to this because we're in that group, or have people been dying at 50 for the last 80 years? And since we weren't 50, we weren't even paying attention.
God, you bring up a great point because I'm going through the same emotions, bro. And I'm going to get the answer because I was telling Jackie the other day in bed, I go, I feel like we're all running up a mountain, you know? And like boulders are coming down and people we know get wiped out left to right. And like, you just keep going for the fucking flag. You just keep going. You know, what are you gonna do? Stop and look back down? So, you know, but to your point, a lot more people getting hit with the boulders, I feel, than got hit with them at 50 in the 70s. You know what I'm saying? Like when I was seven in the 70s, my 80s, my parents, like one guy in the neighborhood would, you know, have a heart attack. Now, I'm starting to ask, you know, what vax did these people have? Because they're starting to, I don't want to disrespect, you know, any of these people that have been passing away, but it's like someone checking the stats on this, you know? So, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, we didn't know anybody when we were young that had a heart attack. Now we're getting older. We know people. It's weird. That's why, bro, you got to just, you know, you got to live every day, guy. You know that. That dad's visiting. No, did you tell him? That's why you showed it to him? Like, hey, listen, I thought maybe you should see this.
I told him. I told him last night.
Take that?
I told him I want to show you this because I don't know if you're going to drop dead tomorrow.
Hey, they say I love you every time because you never know they're going to die. So I should probably show you the movie about you and me, too. I'm down with that. I can't wait to hear what he thought, unless that's personal. But it's got to be trippy to watch someone playing you, let alone De Niro. Wow.
Well, even I'm sitting there going, what a nice thing to have. regardless if this thing does a dollar at the theater, what a nice thing to have that kind of is there forever and gives people like my daughter, my son, and their kids moving forward kind of a little snapshot of what my relationship was or is now with my father. I mean, I would love to see a movie about my father and my grandfather, you know, that, that my father wrote, you know, just to see the dynamics. 'Cause some of the stuff in the movie is true, you know, it's true stuff. Yeah. So
that is fascinating. Now,
at the end.
Yeah.
I'm balling, right? And I'll tell you what's weird about it. There's an emotional scene.
At the end of the movie, or you're balling in real life while you're balling in the movie?
I'm balling in the movie, and I'm balling watching it. Oh, and my, listen to me right now, my balling watching it is far more superior than my balling in the movie. I'm sitting there crying, going, I wish I would have cried like this in the movie. No.
So does De Niro. He wouldn't have yelled cut.
Bro, so now your dad's getting you crying in stereo. Is he joining you in the cry? We're dying to know, to listen to this.
I'm not necessarily crying watching my performance.
No, I know. You're balling at this. Look at where we got. Look at all this support, right?
I'm looking at, I'm watching a movie about my father and I relationship with my father. And my father is watching De Niro play him. That's all going on, right?
Oh, my God.
Now, out of the corner of my eye, I look. Because I don't know about you, when I'm crying and I got other people in the room, I'm just hoping they see me cry from the side. I ain't giving them a full frontal on the cry. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't turn to anybody and them see that. So I did a little side peek, and my dad's crying.
Oh, no.
And then I see that, and I almost had to take a knee. I almost had to like leave the room, bro.
I can't believe it. This moment is unbelievable. By the way, the only reason you have to turn away when you're crying is because you have a tendency to cry when other people aren't crying. I only cry at funerals, so I don't care if you get a frontal because everyone's crying. So, I mean, I don't even need to know what words were spoken because it's clear how your father felt about this movie. I mean, my biggest question is he like, it's a finished painting. What more are you people going to do?
He asked, what are you going to change? I told him a couple scenes in there, you know, or it could be better and what have you. But I mean, for the most part, if we had to put this movie out right now, I'm proud of what we got. But it was a cool experience to see that with him. So he's been here for the last 3 days. Yeah. And, you know, I've been cooking, we've been drinking, and you know, I haven't been getting enough sleep. So my energy today is not where it needs to be to drive a Pete Sebastian show. But
bro,
I'll tell you,
driving fine. Yeah.
We got some things to talk about. But for the listeners, if you're either listening or watching this, a wholehearted apology goes out to everybody. Because of just my sheer lack of enthusiasm right now.
Oh, guy, it's not that big of a deal. It didn't even need to be said on that level. The fact that you're doing it, you're hanging out, you know, you just told a fascinating story. We're all good. Brings me to a question, though. When you're old and gray, all right, and they come to you, let's take it outside of the realm of what's there now. If someone was going to play you in a movie about you, and it could be any actor, basically, that we know of, it could be someone who's not even alive anymore, and you could just say that type. Who do you see playing you? And again, we're talking like during your prime, you know, like from like 30 to like 65, you know, all those years. Man, maybe a bulked up Pacino.
I was going to go Brando. Now, I'm not saying I look like this guy or anything, but I think that's who I'd go with. Either that or LDC.
LDC. He'd have to do a hair dye.
Brad Pitt.
Brando was actually a good call. Let me really wrap my head around this. Maybe with a hair dye, James Caan? Oh, maybe. I don't know. That's a Brando is a bold choice, guy.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to go down the Italian route, but you know who I loved as an actor?
Italian, bro.
Is Gene Hackman. They don't make guys like that anymore.
You know? No, and he was just such like, you know, if he was walking down the street and someone said he's a movie star, you'd go, hey, come on. Seriously, that guy? Just, you know, fantastic. They don't make him like that.
I just came up with a guy that I wanted to play me. If I had, there's an obvious, I go Denzel, man.
Denzel to play you?
Yeah, that type. I know he's black.
Oh, yeah.
But what I'm
saying. I think there's a.
The guy. No. Listen.
There's a quickness more with him and like,
He's so good of an actor.
Well, that's unbelievable.
If he played me in a movie. I think people would believe it. Like, his acting just transcends color.
I know. I mean, the first day of the shoot, he'd come walking in like you walk. You know what I mean? He'd already have you walk down.
I know.
Yeah, he'd be a good choice.
I'm a winner. I'm going to win.
We gotta win this thing.
Who the fuck you think you fucking win?
Fuck you!
Remember to have an attitude of gratitude.
When I put my head on that pillow at night, I was just grateful to be working.
Shut up! You understand me?
Shut the fuck up and sit down.
All right, everybody, get out. Get out!
Get the fuck out of the building!
Take a walk!
Oh, what a day. What a motherfucking day.
The week I had today.
I don't see no resemblance.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
When I first saw you, I saw...
I gotta start with this. It was just bothering the shit out of me. Patrick, if you're there, can you do me a favor and pull up an image of, I don't know if you ever heard of this guy. They call him the masked country singer. I got his name written down. I got a name for you, bro. Orville Peck. Don't put it up yet. Just get it ready. I'm watching this documentary with Shania Twain. About Shania Twain, you know, with Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. This lady was unbelievable. But anyway, and I got something to say about her too. They would have singers that would talk about her, you know, say nice things about it. And they cut to this guy and he's wearing, what do you see what he's wearing? And I'm like, what the fuck? I go, who is this? And Jackie's like, oh my God, I don't know. And we started Googling him. And this is his whole thing. Can we get a photo, Patrick, if you're there, if you don't mind? Look at that. That's just one. It's a mask, bro. Can we get other ones if you get a sec? This guy wears masks all the time when he performs. Can we get one of him performing? Show a performance mask. And I went online to read about what's this guy's story. He doesn't want the face to be part of the judging of the performance or anything. He wants it just to be about the music. So he always wears masks whenever he performs. And he's got fans, guy. He's got fans. People go and see this shit. Are you kidding me? I mean, how did he even know it's Orville Peck? Maybe it's Orville Peck's brother and playing Milwaukee on Tuesday. Orville Peck's in fucking the Bahamas without a mask on. Bro, I just, you know, I'm sitting here trying to get my social media going, and this guy's making millions with a fucking leather mask on. I don't even know what's going on. So, and he's talking with that on about Shania Twain. Like, just, Shania's music has really always been inspired. I'm like, hey, what the fuck you got?
Well, bring out the gimp.
Anyway, here's my second thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of that guy. So Shania Twain, at one point, she's on her boat. She's loaded, you know, and she lives like on some lake in Canada. And she goes out on her boat, beautiful, like wooden boat. And she goes, I come out here all the time and I always bring my guitar. And she's sitting on the front of the boat with her guitar. And I'm saying to Jackie, she don't bring the guitar on the boat. She hasn't brought the fucking guitar on the boat since she moved into this place. It's bullshit. What is your take, guy? I mean, I don't even think she makes music anymore, guy. Why would you bring the guitar?
You know, something about music and musicians bringing their instrument with them in areas that maybe... Do you think people get on the boat with Shania Twain, right? And then they get on and go, oh, can't wait to have a nice day in the boat. And they see the guitar is there and go, oh, Jesus.
That's what I'm saying. Now we're going to have to look at her. I'm right there with you. When people bring a guitar to a party or something, it's a little presumptuous that you think that we're going to want to listen to you play. I mean... Did Bill bring his fucking book of poems? Can he read those? I also think it's an insult to the company because you're saying, listen, I've been around you before. You tend to be boring. I brought my guitar in case you're boring again. I'm going to just play some music. So, but I don't know. My big question is, I don't think it's true. I don't really think that,
She did it for the documentary, yeah. She's like, oh, you know, this would be a good thing that I tell people I play on the boat. And my question to you is, if she starts playing, do you have to listen? Like, if she's playing, she starts singing, and then me and you are on the boat, and I go to you while she's singing, I go, so what's going on with Jackie while she's playing? Can you talk through that?
I would say it depends on what she's playing. You know, if she's just strumming and like trying to find a song, we can be able to talk. But like, you know, if she goes into like, you know, let's give him something to talk about or whatever her hit is, you probably got to go, oh shit, this is one of her hits. Hold that thought.
Oh God.
I tell you, if you want to make a real documentary and you really want to make a documentary, I was riding my bike the other day with Jackie, and it was just getting dark, and people had the window shades still up. And just on one block alone, first thing I saw looking through the window, and they said, you want a real documentary? You got to get people not knowing they're being filmed. I saw a mom and the son and the father on a dining room table where they clearly have dinner, and they had the cat on the table, and they're all sitting around it, and they're going, and they're petting the cat. And listen, Sadie's 9 now, so I taught her not to judge long enough. Now I'm teaching her, you know, let's step on the gas pedal with the judging, you know? I like, because I look through the window and I go, oh my God, Sadie, look, they got the cat on the dining room table. Oh my God. And then we went past another house a couple blocks over that I happened to know these people, and we drove by, and you could just see, because you could see the TV. Me and Sadie were doing a thing. See how many people had the TV on already? And you could just see a pair of feet, and they were doing this like they were rubbing the feet together, like to itch them like together. And I knew the person, and you can only see the feet. So I said the last name. I'm like, that's Mr. Franklin's feet.
I don't think I could talk to that guy ever again without thinking about that foot move.
I know, but the thing is, the guy's in his own living room where you should be able to rub your two feet together while you're watching the game.
Not if you got the drapes open.
I agree. I can't not judge. Bro, I am so anti-feet. I'm watching a movie the other day, the Annapolis, something about one of those American boats that sank and the sharks were coming for the troops. They were floating in the water.
Mm-hmm.
The SS Annapolis or something. And I just turned it on with like 20 minutes left. And in the scene, it was a rubber raft. And the one guy was dying. And he had his, he was like laying back in the raft. And he's crying and talking about his childhood. But he's got his bare feet up on the other part of the raft. And the other guy who's still alive is like right here going, "You're going to make it, Mikey." And the guy's feet are right next to him. I don't care if we're in a war or not. I cannot have a man's feet next to my face. Even when he's dying, I would have to put my helmet on him. You know what I'm saying? And bro, I think I'd be more inclined to do a kissing scene with a man than I would be to do a scene where a man's foot is right next to my face while I'm doing a heavy monologue.
I don't know if we covered this on a previous cast, but have you ever been around someone and you've never seen their feet? Hey, let's say you got a buddy, a boss, a neighbor, whoever it might be. You never saw their feet before, right? Do you imagine what their feet might look like?
I try not to. It's like right up there with trying to imagine what that person would look like naked. You know what I'm saying? You try not to go there. But, you know, when you have a relationship like that, and then it's like summertime, and maybe that guy comes over, and you ever have that moment where you're like, oh my God, is he, am I going to see his feet? Is he coming in my house? But, you know, like, is he going to take his shoes off? So I really feel like men at all costs should keep their feet covered, even in your own home. If you're going to rub your feet in view of a window, shades got to go down.
I agree. I think feet sometimes are a surprise to me when I see someone. I just saw a friend of mine that I've known for 5 years for the first time. I saw him in sandals and his feet were completely the antithesis of what I thought they might be. I have to tell you, this guy's foot is probably one of the most beautiful foot I've ever seen in my life.
Really? On a man?
On a man. It literally, he took his sock off, and I thought I was looking at a woman's foot.
That's what I was going to say. The only pretty foot that a man can have is one that looks like a woman's, and I don't know that I'd want to have women feet, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I could see. Bro, I swear to God, before we started this cast, it gets hot in here now with all my foam. So I was like, God, I'm burning up. I took my shoes and socks off. About five minutes before we started the cast, I went outside. I suited back up. I'm not even comfortable talking to another man that doesn't even know if I was barefoot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm serious, bro. I'm serious.
If you were barefoot right now, yeah, it would change my whole perspective of what's going on. You suddenly lost like 9 school points if you're absolutely doing this thing barefoot.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's like almost intimate. Now, listen, you're going to not give me much on this, but unless you're going somewhere, I have something pretty interesting to tell you.
Much. We just had a 12-minute conversation on feet.
I thought so, too. You're the one acting like you're not doing much, but you're doing great. I'm having fun with you, as always. Huh. And this is the last thing I'll say about movies or whatever. All right, hear me out on this. The other night, I did a repeat watch of 7 Years in Tibet starring BP, which I highly recommend. I don't know if you've seen that movie. It's based on a true story. Guy, it's like from 1939, he goes hiking, ends up in Tibet, finds the city of Tibet, and stays for like 7 years, becomes really good friends with the Dalai Lama. It's unbelievable. Now, here's the deal. I'm watching this movie, and they're explaining how you become the Dalai Lama. And they're saying in the movie that the Dalai Lama becomes reincarnated in another body. And the Dalai Lama, the one that's alive, can sense what body it's in. And it tells the people, that'll be the new Dalai Lama. I know, listen, you know, I'm doing this lightly. I know it's more detailed, but you follow me and basically how it works?
Mm-hmm.
And usually the new Dalai Lama comes from the Tibetan region. But the Dalai Lama that exists now, the old guy, he's like, but that might not be the case this time. I don't know. Maybe he found it by now, but he's like, I don't know where it'll come from. And I'm not holding myself to any of that. When I know. I'll see it and I'll know. Now you put that aside. This is going back about 20 years maybe, when I used to work front desk in New York City, maybe 25 years. I used to ride my bike to work at like 6 o'clock in the morning to save money. I take my bike to the hotel and lock it up. One morning, Sunday morning, it's got to be like about 5 to 6 in the morning. I'm biking.
I'm sorry.
Wait, what's up?
When you rode your bike,
yeah,
to work, did you have the uniform on?
No way, guy. We had lockers. It's a hotel. Okay. Oh my God! Can you imagine? Fair enough. Fair enough. Question.
Okay.
Now I'm biking across town, like, and it's a Sunday, and I'm passing this very fancy hotel called the Mark on the Upper East Side, and there's a bunch of cops out front. So I'm like, "What's going on?" So I pull up, and there's no one around because it's so early. And as I stop on my bike, swear to God, I'm not making this up. Coming out of the Mark with escorts is the Dalai Lama in the robe. And he's walking, they're walking him across the street to get into the SUV. And as he's coming across, 10 feet away, I'm standing on my bike making complete eye contact with the Dalai Lama. Complete eye contact. And it was a good solid 1 to 2 seconds and a smile. And then he did a dip down. I swear to God, I'm not making any of this up. I told my wife this. What I didn't realize until I watched that movie, during that 2 seconds, guy, he was checking to see if I might be the fucking guy. I said to Jackie, he was doing a check to see if I was the Dalai Lama. Because he said he don't know where it's going to come from. Is it the fucking guy on the bike? So I said to Jackie, that's cast-worthy. She goes, that's a stretch. I go, stretch nothing. He says he's looking in everyone's eyes to find the fucking guy. And we made eye contact. Unbelievable, bro. Unbelievable. Well,
if you were the guy, what happens? What does he do?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's found them since, but maybe it's a point like, you know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers when you realize someone else isn't a zombie and they'd go, oh, you know. Everyone he looks at, I feel, is a possible Dalai Lama. Well, but I specifically, it was like coincidence that I was there and that he was there. I was like, wow, it was close, guy.
Well, if you are the guy, does he all of a sudden just give you his robe and his...
Like, no, they take you. Right there? I know what they take you to immediately to the school in Tibet where you learn all about how the religion works. And it's usually the Dalai Lama picks a kid. So it would have been really a little far fetched to him to pick me because I was older, but you never know. But it's usually a kid. And then they bring that kid and his whole family to the temple. And you just study and study and study, and you're the new guy when he dies. Nice gig if you can get it.
Well, let's say during that thing, you were the guy. And I know he only picks kids, but let's say he picked you.
I was with Jackie. I would have left her. I would have left her if I had to. If I got picked. I love you, baby. And I mean, I don't even know if I could take her. I don't even know if I'm allowed to have a wife. I mean, if they put that robe on me, it's like shit. I mean, I'd be having tea with the Pope.
What's the perks of being the Dalai Lama? I mean, what the hell do you get? I mean,
Well, you live in the temple, which has got, it's in the Himalayas. It's supposed to be, in the 7 years in Tibet, it looked beautiful. You know, everybody worships you. You're like, I don't know. Do you have like, that's a good question. Like when the Pope says we have to stop the fighting in Ukraine and Russia. You know, people like, oh man, the Pope came out and condemned it. If the Dalai Lama says that, is anyone like, what? What do you, guy? You're up on a mountain, guy. Don't even worry about it.
I don't know. If
does he hold the same weight as the Pope? Right?
I don't even think the Pope has got the same weight as Jay-Z.
No, bro, I know. It's a little sad. Do you think if the Dalai Lama went to the Vatican, you think he could get an overnight stay at the Vatican if he made a phone call? Dalai Lama wants to come sleep over.
Yeah, I think he gets in.
You don't think they're like, you're a different religion guy. It's like, we don't need you whispering to our guys while you're here and shit.
No, I think he gets a night stay. Definitely.
All right.
Well, here, night stays at the Vatican. Man, I'm going to toss out a couple of names, and you tell me if they're big enough to get a sleepover with the Pope. right?
Mm-hmm.
Rosie O'Donnell.
No. No. I don't, like, when my dad went to the Vatican, he wasn't wearing a jacket. He was so embarrassed they had to give him a jacket or something. Well, he was wearing shorts, and he had to go buy sweatpants. And he goes, and they sell them right out on the street for, like, $5. I don't even think they let Rosie in without the proper attire. Like, I think she'd be treated like the rest of us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, I did read in my book that Don Rickles, and as you know, Bob Newhart were best friends, and Rickles got them all for a visit, personal visit with the Pope. Like a private meeting with the Pope. I don't know if they slept over, but just to give you a template.
You know who I think that went through?
Who?
Sinatra. I think he might have set it up.
Oh, man. You're probably right. You know who I think the closest ear in entertainment is, like what Sinatra, you're probably right, was to the Pope, is now? I'm thinking Bono.
He gets all access?
I think not only does he get all access, he can get you in. I think
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm saying. He's very Catholic, right? The Irish Catholic man. You know what I'm saying? I think gets in and gets a chocolate on their bed, and not only gets dinner, but also gets breakfast with the Pope. I feel Clooney.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
I mean, he's already got that. I think the Pope might have been to the fucking Lee Cuomo guy.
Oh, there he is. Oh, there he is.
Oh, yeah, my. No. Look at that. They're literally making dinner plans.
It's either they're making dinner plans or the Pope just saw the new Pope in Clooney. So, do you think the Pope, if he calls, say, Rihanna, and said, listen, I'd like to see you tomorrow night, do you think people clear their schedules for that? Or does Rihanna go, nah, going out with the girls?
She's a good example. That's a tough one because she's a bit of a rebel, love her music, but and if she's not Catholic, it may be like, you know, might not mean, it might be like, you know, not me that much, but I have to say, you know, the Pope is the Pope. I have to say yes. I can't imagine the Pope ever gets turned down for lunch.
Well, you know, I'm thinking here, you got the Pope for the Catholics, but like who's the, say, the Jewish version of the Pope, or the Muslim Pope? Do they have anybody?
That's a great question. Yeah, that's interesting, man, because, well, I gotta watch my words here, but with the Muslims, I thought, like, you know.
Oh, wait.
I don't know who it is. That's a really good question. They gotta have a main guy, right? Like, if you're Muslim, you're gonna watch their like version of a holiday on TV. Like, we watch our Christmas Eve from St. Patrick's Cathedral with Archbishop Boom. Who are some of the big dogs in the Muslim religion? You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, what about bro? Is it? I gotta watch what I say here. This might be an edit. Is there a Gandhi? Or was that like a one-time thing? Or is there always like a Gandhi?
Well,
you don't know. You're pretending you know. Do you know?
Hold on. We're getting. Patrick says one Gandhi. It's one Gandhi.
So when he died,
But he died. Was his name Gandhi? His name was Gandhi, or
yeah, yeah, his name is Mahatma Gandhi. It's not a position called the Gandhi.
No, I knew it wasn't a position called the Gandhi, but Gandhi was the leader of all the Indians, right? So when Gandhi died, is there a new Gandhi, you know, with a new name, you know?
He was more of a Mother Teresa kind of.
There you go. Who replaced her? What is happening? There's no backup for these people. Like we used to say, what are you, Mother Teresa? What do we say now? What do we say now?
No,
do
I know.
Just keep saying, huh?
Well, I thought Mother Teresa growing up was a position. you know, like president of Coca-Cola. You know, but when that president leaves, there's another president that comes in. That's what I thought about Mother Teresa, that, oh, she's the Mother Teresa, and then there's going to be a Mother Anna. Or whatever.
She's the
it is.
Mother of all nuns in the whole world. She's the mother of all nuns.
Was Mother Teresa a nun?
Yeah, she had to be there. It's your mother. You don't get the mother title without being a nun, right? Or was it? Patrick, can we get a hard Google on that?
Yeah, she was a nun and she was sainted.
How do you get that? I mean, I know McCartney got that, but right? Oh no, he got knighted. Sainted. Who's got that?
I don't know who's got that label, sainthood. Who gets sainthood? Yeah, these like these figures out there, you know, like Mother Teresa, Gandhi. I mean, I know this is not along those lines, but like Nelson Mandela, you know, when he came out, he had this kind of aura around him. Who else?
Right. I think Watt's building up a resume for sainthood.
Watt had a sack this past week. I don't know if you saw it.
No, damn it. I can't complain. I got Josh Allen. Guy's unbelievable. Great to hear about Watt, man. I guess he was just hurt season the first game or something. Because you said he didn't play the first one. You didn't
take. Yeah, he didn't play. And he had a sack. And then, they were playing the Raiders. And then after the sack, Watt did this roll of the dice move after he sacked him. He was like, mimed rolling dice down the field. I thought that was kind of nice that he associated his celebration with the city that he was in at the time.
I like that. So that's got to be thought out ahead of time, obviously, man.
I don't know. I have to ask him if that's something that he thought about or was that just instinctual?
That's one bad motherfucker.
And lastly, before we leave, there's a new thing that's passed in California. I don't know if you've heard. It's already in two other states. Got a new way to go when you go, if you're interested. You get your body when you die. It's the decomposing process. So for 30 to 45 days, they put you somewhere and just let you naturally decompose. And then after 45 days, what's left of you, they put in this steel vessel with alfalfa and a few other sort of organic nutrients. And they let you sit in this steel vessel for a long period of time. And then when they open it back up, it's your soil. You're literally moist soil, good for a garden. And they give that back to the family if they want. And then they can, grow a flower or a tree out of your remains. Or, they just take it and they put it and becomes part of the organic farm somewhere. But boom, you, bro, can become a tomato tree.
I don't want anybody biting into me going, man. I literally, my brain stopped in the middle of that.
Bro, are you kidding me? I feel like I'm watching the president doing a speech. Don't feel bad. At least you're apologizing.
Oh,
he
by
does
the
it
way.
Right before he talks about China. I said it, people.
Go ahead. What? I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes, but he said the pandemic's over. He said the pandemic's over, this guy.
I heard that.
Yet they're still telling us to go get the shot. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Now unbelievable.
Can't get into politics. Can't get into politics.
Bro, I'll tell you though, man, you die, they take your soil, you sprinkle it around, your kids grow a garden, and for years to come, if they did that with Sinatra and you could go to a garden and you were getting Sinatra lettuce that is made from the soil of Frank Sinatra, what is that worth, bro?
I don't know,
I'm telling you, man.
All right, but that would be nice.
Something to think about. Yeah. Well, I hope the special went great. Look forward to
seeing
it.
The special went great.
Really.
It's all good. It took a lot out of me. That's our show for today. Pete and Sebastian Show. Check us up on the Patreon. Patreon.com, Pete and Sebastian Show. The numbers are swelling.
That's what I want to hear, you guys. We got the one that's up now is really funny, man. If you get a chance, if you're thinking about signing up, sign up while that puppy's still floating around up there.
I think that's probably top five podcasts we've ever done.
Yeah. Well, we got to maybe go down memory lane a little more down the line, but that, yeah, that was a lot of fun. We thank you for watching those. I want to just do a quick plug. I got a bunch of shows, folks. They're all out. Go to PeteCorielli.com. Gramercy Theater, New York City, to Paramount, Chicago, Milwaukee, Shank Hall. I'm going to L.A., man. I'm going to be playing in L.A. You can go to PeteCorielli.com. They're all up. Hope you guys can make it out. Either way, though, man, great hanging again, brother. As always,
you got it, man.
Never a dull moment. All right.
I'll see you soon.
Later.
The show has ended.
Hey, listen, he's a good friend of mine, one of the funniest guys I know, and it's an honor for me to bring him on stage tonight. Make some noise for the very funny Mr. David Arnold.
My stepfather didn't have no job, wasn't getting no job, and fuck anybody who told him he better get a job. My stepfather was a completely different kind of dude. My stepfather had a claim to fame, though. My stepfather started a group in the 50s that became popular in the 70s called the OJs. Yes. But he quit the day before they made $1 million. So I spent my whole childhood watching a man try to prove that what was probably the biggest mistake of his life was not really a mistake at all. And this is the thing. When, I don't know if you know anybody from the 70s. My stepfather from the 70s. You know all of them, they from the 70s. They always got some slick shit happening. They, you know, they always got, they got everything he wore was silk for no goddamn reason. And he was always doing some 70s shit with his fingers. And he had a Jerry curl, but not really. And, you know, my stepfather, you know, he was cool. And, you know, he would talk down to you, you know. Because, you know, nigga, I started the OJs. Nigga, you didn't. So all of his sentences started the same way. No, nigga, no. I remember saying to my mother, why you got me in here? And we grew up with a lot of rules with my stepfather. One of the biggest rules that we grew up, me and my three younger sisters, was one glass of juice per kid per day. Everything after that, drink water. That was the rule. And you couldn't get around this rule because he had drink tickets that he would pass out in the morning. You wake up, come downstairs, he's standing right there. Good morning, there's your drink ticket. Fuck that off however you like. I was a smart kid. I would save up all my drink tickets to the end of the week. Come in there on Friday, put them on the table. Bam, got 5 drink tickets. Need 5 glasses of juice. No, nigga, no. Today's drink ticket color, David, is blue. None of this is that. Drink water. And I was like, I hate it here. And for the life of me, I could not understand why this man was so cheap. And then one day it hit me. He was not cheap. He was broke.
Walk with me, 'cause the door is open. Talk with me. Come on, baby. Oh!